And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this snowy Monday morning. It's been quite the start to the weather here in 2022, Joe Rex Road. About 78 degrees on January 1st, and yesterday it's snowing. It's good stuff.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, at least to me, like if it's going to be brutally cold, a nice blanket of snow, you know, makes it a little bit better. Yeah,
a little bit more time.
Yay or nay?
Yeah, I could look. I don't mind a good snow every now and then, but I also wouldn't mind if it came in. It was 94 degrees a day. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take the weather of a couple days ago for sure. Very weird. Very, very weird. That's for sure.
Michelle Knezvik, how was the weather in Chicago this weekend?
Well, I'm still defrosting. I was at the Bears game yesterday, which they actually played pretty good. So it was a good game to go to, but
God bless you for watching the Bears and the Giants play football.
Listen, my toes were so frozen and I had blisters because we walked around Chicago the day before. So my feet are in pain, but it was my first NFL game, and I had the full fan experience. It was so fun. A little cold, but I'm all good right now. So it was pretty fun. It was awesome.
That's pretty wild that was your first NFL game. Is there a significance to that particular game? Like people you're with, either Giants or Bears fans?
Yeah, my friend who I was with is a huge Bears fan from Chicago, and he had never been either. But yeah, I've never been because I've told you guys this, like growing up in New York, the Bills are about 6 hours from me. And then the Giants and the Jets in Jersey are like 3.5. Honestly, the Patriots are probably closer to me, which are like 3. And those tickets are really expensive. And then went to school in Kentucky, no team down there. And I still haven't been to a Titans game yet. But yeah, so the Bears is my first game ever. But it was really fun.
Well, we knew that you weren't going to be we knew you were never going to the Bills game, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely not.
Taking down
nope.
The Bills Mafia.
Was it weird? So you could tell, like, incredible spot for that stadium. You can see the old classic.
Yeah, I had been.
Know,
I had
original
been.
Stadium, and then there's the nice. Oh, sorry, I was going to say, then they smashed a spaceship on top of the thing.
No, the stadium was pretty cool, but we actually got cheap tickets. I guess usually they're so expensive, but since the Bears sucked this year, the tickets were super cheap, and it also was pretty empty. There was, like, no one there, so Bears fans, they hopped off that. But I did see a Packers fan, Robbie. There was a guy with a big cheese head. I was like, dude, I think you're lost.
No, he's right where he needs to be, just reminding people in that stadium continuously how much they suck. Good stuff. By the way, shout out to the Green Bay Packers, number one seed in the NFC.
Well, you picked the Packers and Titans to play in the Super Bowl, so
I did.
You are one Titans win in Houston away from them being at least the ones. It's pretty good.
Not so bad. Speaking of the Titans, what a win yesterday at Nissan Stadium. They get it done 34-3, obviously. We'll be taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, the numbers from Tannehill and from the offense, for the most part, are going to blow you off the page, although they did run the ball for almost 200 yards again without Derrick Henry against a very good defensive front. So that continues to be impressive, the way that they're running the ball. Deontay Foreman, I thought it was awesome yesterday in that game. But the Titans get it done 34-3. Really, to me, Joe, there was never a moment in that game where it didn't feel like the Titans were pretty much in control of the game yesterday. They played pretty well for the most part.
Yeah, you know, third quarter, the Dolphins finally had a couple drives that looked like, professional football drives. But, I mean, you get it to 10-0, and it was like, man, on that day, of course, you didn't know how the conditions were going to go. They did get a little bit better for the offenses. But all in all, you're talking about one of the best rush defenses in the NFL. like you said, 198 rushing yards. You're talking about 45 sack team going against a team that had given up 45 sacks, and Titans gave up one, and it was a, you know, a blitz pickup that Jeremy McNichols didn't get. So that's the first game that the starting offensive line has started and finished, and they seem to like doing that. So there's a lot to like, you know, a lot to like about how they played. And even though, you know, A.J. Brown only has two catches, 41 yards, I still thought both were big, especially the first one, the 25-yarder. You know, the early going, because obviously I think the first five drives of this game – totaled like 6 yards or something. I mean, neither team did anything. You still see the difference that he can make for your offense. And the Titans are now 10-2 with him, 27 points a game. They're 1-3 without him, 17 points a game.
Yep, makes a pretty huge difference to have number 11 in there. I don't think there's any question about that. Joe Rexroad, here we are. We're 17 weeks into this season. Anthony Firkser has caught a touchdown pass. It happened on Sunday. What a play, what a moment in Nissan Stadium.
Indeed. And, hey, I mean, talk about wide open, huh? Yeah. I knew it was coming. I mean, I thought it was coming in September, but I knew it was coming. I tell you what, Firkser has had a role, of course, all year, just like Swain. But now, I guess you could say both of them, it goes up a little bit because, you know, the Titans can't possibly go through a game without an awful injury, and you got to feel terrible for Mykole Pruitt and what happened to him yesterday on the field.
Yep, looked really bad, and obviously the cart got called out there very quickly. Mike Vrabel was like literally on a dead sprint out there to get Mykole Pruitt, and obviously that did not look good. So I would not expect him to be back this season based on the way that injury looked. And we'll see if the Titans can pick up the slack on the tight end side of things. Did have, you know, Jeff Swaim had a touchdown yesterday as well. So Firkser and Swaim on the board yesterday for the Titans. You know, Tannehill, in between the push-ups he was doing all week, I'm sure, made the right decisions in the game yesterday. 13 of 18, 120 yards and two touchdowns. Again, those numbers are not going to just kind of jump off the page and blow you away with what he was able to do. But I thought he was efficient. I thought he made some good plays, some big throws in the game, ran the ball a couple of times, and didn't have to do too much in that game. But Tannehill getting the victory against his old team had to feel pretty good for number 17.
Well, A.J. Brown did say that he said something late about sticking it to the Dolphins. So, you know, so there you go. All that all that fiery preparation with right. Fire in his eyes finally spilled over. But, you know, that's another game where I think it's six straight good quarters from him, efficient, accurate, getting the ball out and not really messing around with turning it over either, you know. Again, against a team that's aggressive, that is willing to gamble some, you know, to try to affect quarterbacks. So Titans were, you know, prepared, and he was prepared, and it all looks pretty good, you know, at this point. This team is either going to be the number one seed in the AFC or the team that got swept by the Houston Texans.
Yes, they are. It's pretty amazing to watch the way this broke down for the Titans yesterday. First off, you get the win against Miami, so that was the most important thing that you had to do. And then the Raiders go into Indianapolis and take down the Colts, so you would have won the division either way yesterday based on what happened. And then what a crazy finish out there in Cincinnati between the Bengals and the Chiefs. First off, it was a very good week to have Ja'Marr Chase on your fantasy team, I will say that, because dude was absolutely insane yesterday for the Bengals. He has a huge game, three touchdowns in the game, and then towards the end, there's flags back and forth, a holding penalty by the Chiefs in the end zone, and they kick the game-winning field goal. So now the Titans, all you got to do is beat our man Davis Mills and the Houston Texans, and you will be the number one seed in the AFC. Pretty incredible given everything that's happened with this team this year.
It really is, and it's just another thing that Steelers loss, you know, I think we said it. I know I wrote it like, yeah, basically just forget about the number one seed, you know. Yeah. Like so many times with this team, good and bad, it seemed like one thing, it's going this way, and then you go the other way. But ultimately a lot more good than bad. And you know, look, it's a pretty big deal. Again, first back-to-back division titles for this franchise since the first 3 years of its existence, when people probably made fun of the AFL and it was just some upstart fledgling league, just like there's a new one every spring in this country. I mean, it's a pretty strong endorsement of what, again, a good reminder of like what has happened since Amy Adams Strunk took over, hired John Robinson, and of course, even better since they decided to move on from Mike Mularkey and Mike Vrabel. But you're watching, I mean, I don't know how much you were able to see of the Cincy AC game. That was nuts. Like you said, I thought Zach Taylor was going to be just like the goat of the week and not in a good way with his decision, because you know, you kicked the field goal there, you got their timeouts bled, and, you know, yes, Patrick Mahomes can easily come down and make you pay, but if you get no points there, man, you know, that's really a problem. But it worked out okay for them and for everybody. So you get the Bengals are the division champs and the Titans are division champs. Not many people picked the first one of those.
I would say that's definitely accurate. We are off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A big day on the ground yesterday for the Titans. What are the Titans going to do with Deontay Foreman here as Derrick Henry is rumored to be closer and closer to returning to action? We'll get to that and more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Winning takes care of everything. That's what I learned a long time ago in athletics. Winning takes care of everything.
Winning certainly does take care of everything, and the Titans have done it again. Back-to-back AFC titles for the first time since the early 60s in this franchise, and the Titans have the number one seed firmly in their grasp as they take a look at the Houston Texans coming up later this week. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We are taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, shout out to the Tennessee Titans. Everybody on their team actually kept their pads and their clothes on throughout the entirety of the game yesterday, which is more than at least one NFL team could say. Pretty crazy stuff with Antonio Brown.
Yeah, man. My goodness. Amazing. And Bruce Arians had a whole bunch to say about why, why Antonio Brown was going to be on the team, stay on the team and all this stuff, and didn't want to say a thing yesterday. So that was just weird. Just weird. Then there was like, I don't know if you saw like his Uber driver or something, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Gets, like, video of him, and his Uber driver is already some, like, online personality or something. I don't, man, weird stuff. Brady was still sympathetic to Antonio Brown, but, man, it was a powder keg. Something like this is bound to happen. I mean, the guy already faked his vax card, but will he ever play NFL?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I want to say no, because at some point, like, enough's enough, but I also know that if you have talent in this league, you probably get second and third and fourth and fifth chances. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen on that front, but that was wild yesterday with Antonio Brown just running off the field, taking the shoulder pads off, chucking the shirt into the stands and running off through the end zone. As the play is going on back behind it, just pretty crazy stuff yesterday for the Bucks. We'll get into that a little bit more coming up a little bit later in the show. You know, Deontay Foreman yesterday, 26 carries, 132 yards, a touchdown. Had a couple of big runs in the game as well, including one from the Wildcat, which was pretty fun to watch on that play. 26 carries, 132 for Foreman. Obviously, a really good game for him. He has become the lead back in Derrick Henry's absence. I don't think there's any question about that, especially in this game. I guess my question is, as Derrick Henry is rumored to be closer to returning, and we'll see whether that's this week or whether that's when the playoffs comes. I would assume it's probably in the playoffs at this point. What do you do with Deontay Foreman? Do you keep him active? Is he going to be, you know, a part of this team as they move forward? Because you do have Derrick Henry. You do have Jeremy McNichols, who has been fine in the role that he's played. Also, pretty good game yesterday from Dontrell Hilliard as well. I kind of view it, though, Joe, like it'd be difficult for me to take Deontay Foreman's spot off this team with the way that he's played as of late.
Oh, absolutely, especially because you don't, like, you know for sure Derrick Henry is going to all of a sudden be a 25-30 carry back right away. So I have to think Deontay Foreman's spot, I think probably – comes down to the question of, and the odd man out is probably Hilliard, but I think you could also look at that and say, could Dontrell Hilliard do your third down back stuff? Is he a better option all around than Jeremy McNichols? My suspicion would be there's still more trust with McNichols in terms of the, you know, blitz pickup and everything, pass protection, third down back duties than with Hilliard. So Hilliard would probably be the odd man out. I'd be stunned if Deontay Foreman wasn't kept as part of, you know, the rotation at running back. And I think, you know, let's say Derrick Henry's first game back is, you know, first playoff game. I mean, I would kind of expect, you know, some kind of a shared workload between those two guys in that game.
Chris Harris from Channel 4 put this out there yesterday, which was pretty incredible to think about. It says, with what the Titans have been able to do with the run game in the aggregate since Derrick Henry went down has been phenomenal. Henry in his first 8 games, 219 carries, 937 yards, and 10 touchdowns. In the next 8 games without Henry, the combo of Foreman, Hilliard, McNichols, and Peterson has combined for 212 carries, 945 yards, and 5 touchdowns. So, you know, it obviously it hasn't been exactly the same, but they've replaced the running game and the numbers and the running game without Derrick Henry, I think, better than I could have probably ever imagined when you told me what the running back situation was going to look like heading into this stretch. It's been pretty incredible.
No, it has been. That's a heck of a stat there by Chris Harris. And I actually got, you know, a reaction. I retweeted that and someone was like, oh, so there you go. Don't pay the running back evidence. I'm like, no, it's still like, it's not the same. And that's just something you have to watch to get that. Like, first of all, I wouldn't have guessed those numbers. No. And you got to remember, of course, you're talking about a bunch of backs combined, but still those are incredible numbers. But you know, Derrick Henry does it against teams who are solely focused on not letting him do it. And these guys have done it against defenses that have been able to play the Titans straight up, a lot more straight up. I mean, no, you know, these defenses week after week are not like, we got to, Deontay Foreman's not beating us this week, guys. Right. You know, I mean, the defenses that they've faced have been different than the defense that he's faced, which is why it's been tougher on the passing game. But still, that's got to exceed anybody's reasonable expectation going back to the day, you know, that he got hurt.
Oh, it does. And you're able to do it yesterday against, you know, a really good front. I mean, think about a couple of the teams that they've been able to just blitz in terms of running the football. They ran all over the Patriots, 270 yards on the ground. Now, they did fumble a couple of times in that game, obviously, which was very costly. And then yesterday, you got basically 200-yard rushing again against Miami. So, like, a couple of these defenses that they put up big numbers against, I mean, these are not cookie-cutter defenses. These are pretty good defensive fronts, and the Titans have been able to run the ball anyway. Good to see Lawan and Saffold back out there yesterday. It made a pretty big difference again as well.
Right. and those two guys, of course, were huge in the rushing performance in New England. And that rushing performance was, you know, some big runs that helped those numbers get where they got. Yesterday was a little bit more consistent, you know, just really having some success. I mean, what was the longest run of the day? Was it four? Touchdown run, probably.
Hilliard had a 39-yarder.
Oh, Hilliard at the end with a 39-yarder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Foreman actually had a 35-yarder, too. So they had a couple, you know, pretty big ones, but pretty consistent ability to run it. And that's, excuse me, that's really a good sign for this line moving forward.
Yeah, really good sign for the offensive line. Good sign for the rushing attack as well. And now we'll see if they're able to carry it forward against Houston coming up a little bit later this week. You know, it's interesting to watch this offense right now because it does kind of feel like with Derrick Henry getting closer, A.J. Brown is back in there again. No Julio Jones in this game, still on the COVID-19 list. So you didn't have his services heading into this game. But it does kind of feel like the offense is figuring it out a little bit as they close down the stretch of the regular season here. Again, as you said, not a statistical day from A.J. Brown yesterday that's really going to turn your head all that much. Two catches, 41 yards. But you can see strictly from just an attention standpoint, having him back on the field is a pretty big deal for this group. And, you know, a couple of big catches for him yesterday. This is just a completely different offense when he's healthy and when he's on the field.
Yeah, he also drew a PI in.
He did.
So, you know, you can give him those yards too. So he looks like him. You know, Firkser, I mean, look, Firkser, 3 targets, 24 yards. Yeah, the touchdown, couple other little sort of, you know, kept in like late release, little catches on third down. Swaim continues to be, you know, a guy. He had a touchdown too. I mean, they've got a lot of things going now to where if you do add Derrick Henry back, and then there's always Julio Jones. I mean, there's still room for, you know, a number two receiver out there. Westbrook Akina had 2 targets, no catches yesterday. You know, Rodgers, a couple catches. And there's still room for Julio Jones to be the number two receiver. Is it going to be the three-headed monster where, you know, defenses can't deal with it? I don't think it'll be that this year at any point. But could he still be a good two for you? I mean, I still think that's possible. He went to the COVID list, didn't get off it for the game. But you can see where it could all come together. And already we've seen where the defense is just – it's just so much better than I think anybody could have expected this year at this point. I haven't looked at, like, where they rank now in the league. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking about numbers and performance that – compared to last year, it's just about a 180.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost totally different out there. And if you could get the offense back up to somewhat resembling full speed, I mean, here we are yet again, especially if you're able to lock down the one seed and you're able to win against Houston coming up on Sunday. That means, number one, you get the week off, which is, I think, hugely important. You go right to the divisional round. But number two, say you do have to take on the Colts, or you do have to take on Kansas City again. Having that game at Nissan Stadium and not having to go on the road is a huge deal. So this is obviously a massive week for the Titans to get this done against Houston, but it is pretty incredible given everything that's happened that they're 11-5 with a chance to wrap up the one seed. My question for you, if they get this done and they win against Houston, should Vrabel be a lock for Coach of the Year?
I think he should win it. Does it come down to Vrabel and Coach Cheesehead? Is that what it comes down to here?
I mean, he's getting a lot of love for it. I guess I understand why, but they're about where I expected they would be. So it's not like, I don't know that they've necessarily overachieved or underachieved. They're just exactly where I thought they'd be.
I mean, think about that. You know, less than 4 years ago, it was very, you know, right around here, you have the Titans winning a playoff game. Pretty controversial decision to fire Mike Mularkey. you got a guy who's never been a head coach at any level, and then, you know, a guy who's coming in as OC who's never called plays, okay, yeah. Less than 4 years ago. A lot of questions about both guys, and right now they may be your top two candidates for NFL Coach of the Year. That's pretty impressive on both hands. I agree. I think Vrabel's a lot better candidate than LaFleur. Is there anybody else who's really in there?
I mean, Zach Taylor from Cincy.
I mean, Zach Taylor now kind of gets a – yeah, he almost earned, you know, worst coach of the year at the yesterday. But, but, yeah, I mean, the fact that they are winning that division going away, which definitely was unexpected. I mean, we know that the Ravens have had the Ravens and Browns both have been had a lot of bad luck, but still, he's got to be in there. But I mean, I just think when you talk about history making personnel issues and then being the number one overall seed and you lose your best player for more than half the year, I think it should be pretty simple if the Titans win at Houston.
I think so, too. I think Mike Vrabel deserves a lot of love for Coach of the Year. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Get more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also get into this defense, who was incredible once again yesterday. It's hard not to feel pretty great right now about this Titans defense as we move forward here. We'll get into that more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Fourth downs obviously opened the doors early for you to get things going. No doubts there on any of those, I don't imagine.
Just made a decision. What's wrong, Paul? You didn't like the answer there? You know what I mean? I'm just sorry. Like, no doubt. I mean, you guys, there can't be doubt. You know, and you live in doubt. We don't. We like to live in being decisive and giving our players a chance to go make plays. That's what sports, that's what that athletics and competition is about. And sometimes, you know, it works and sometimes it doesn't. But doubt, no doubt.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday after the Titans' big win against the Miami Dolphins. The Titans improved 11-5. They win the AFC South for the second consecutive season. We are taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Monday morning talking Titans. Joe, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in. What about the ref that got everyone's attention with the, hey, 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 that was awesome. We need more refs like that. By the way, I predicted the Titans and Rams rematch in the Super Bowl. I don't know what the ref was doing there, but I enjoyed every last second of that. That was awesome.
Well, I think he was getting yelled at by someone, maybe even profanely, and he was trying to calm someone down. But quick reaction from the crowd with the quick, hey, 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 back to him. Also, you had not streaker because they weren't naked, but you had a field runner yesterday too. So, yeah, it's getting wild at Nissan.
Well, it was a wild day yesterday at Nissan Stadium. So, Joe, we've talked about this defense a little bit. This is now the third performance this year they've had where they've given up 3 points or less. It is the eighth time that they've given up 20 points or less this season. It's been pretty incredible to watch what this defense has been able to do. And, you know, they gave up a couple of big plays yesterday, but you were talking about coming into the game a quarterback that had the highest completion percentage in the NFL. Tua was right around 75% in terms of his completion percentage. And yesterday he is held to 18 of 38 for 205 yards and a pick. Now, obviously, the conditions, I think, had something to do with that as well, but pretty impressive performance yesterday by the Titans defense. You know, they held the Dolphins to 74 yards rushing, which for the Dolphins may actually be a pretty good day on the ground running the ball for 74 yards. But all in all, just another impressive performance with a defense that, as you said, looks about 180 degrees different than it did this time last year.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins had 50 yards really on the
ground. Uh-oh, I think we've got Robo Joe taking place right now.
Yeah, it kind of has been for the Titans, which you kind of understand when they play. Wonderful. Any better?
There we go.
Yeah? No, yeah. That's just awesome. Just awesome. Yeah. Now I lost my train of thought. The Dolphins ran well early, which, you know, the Titans usually, you know, when they play a team that they know can run the ball, wants to run the ball, they're very good. You know, a team like the Dolphins, you maybe a little bit, but that went away early. They had 50 yards early, and then it didn't. Harold Landry with his 12th sack, the ninth sack. So that four-man pass rush is whole again. It looked really good again. One of the things that
we got Robo Joe kicking back in. We'll see if we can get reconnected with Joe a little bit here as we're trying to get to navigate through the Zoom portion of today's program. But to his point, 50 yards early rushing for the Dolphins in that game. They finished with 16 carries, 74 yards. Obviously, when you're down by as much as they were down in the game, hard to stick with the run. And Tua, you know, he had the fumble yesterday where the ball just slips out of his hand, has the interception as well. So 18 of 38, 205 for Tua in that game. It just, quite frankly, was a Dolphins offense that other than one big play to Waddle a little bit later in the second half and a couple of good catches by Devontae Parker yesterday, this really didn't feel all that dangerous when it comes to the offensive side of things. So pretty good job by the Titans defense. It's just incredible to me. I mean, we talk about the impact that this secondary has had. Christian Fulton being back in there is a big deal. You know, Amani Hooker had maybe the easiest interception that he is ever going to have yesterday that hit him right in the hands, and he just dropped it. So I like to see him make that play as you move forward here. But to me, the biggest difference in this defense is just the front and what they're able to do. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that Bud Dupree and Danico Autry and obviously Harold Landry, Jeff Simmons, those four are just having such a massive impact on this defense. And I thought Bud Dupree was good once again yesterday. Obviously, he and Danico Autry kind of getting in the backfield, making a play there. Danico Autry ends up with a sack on that play. Harold Landry ends up with another sack as well yesterday. It was just, I think, a really good day from the defense. The defensive front continues to wreak havoc regardless of who they're playing against. And it's just amazing the difference that Bud Dupree and Danico Autry and just that front have made for this group. They continue to play well on a weekly basis. I believe we have Joe Rexroad back in here at the moment. Joe Rexroad, are you there?
Who knows? I don't know. Any better?
Yes, a lot better, Joe.
I mean, it's like 5 feet of difference, but who the heck knows, man? Maybe the snow got on my router.
I was just talking about the difference that Bud Dupree and Danico Autry continue to make for this team. It's becoming, I think, more and more evident with each passing game.
Yeah, speaking of Bud Dupree, and I have no idea, but this is actually something that, when the heck did Jared send this to me? Did you see this thing? I'm not even familiar with Scoop Nashville until Jared sent me this. You familiar with Scoop Nashville?
I'm familiar with Scoop Nashville.
You are?
Yes. Well, you do not want to be on there.
Yeah, something happened with Bud Dupree and some friends at a retail store. According to Scoop Nashville, quote, left store vandalized and staff harassed, waiting to see if arrest or citation happens. So, end quote from this tweet. And they do cite a police call. So you know, something could potentially come from this. Of course, there's no indication it was specifically him doing anything, but apparently a group of people he was with. So something to keep an eye on today. But Bud Dupree, you know, what did he end up with statistically yesterday? You know, one tackle. But he got doubled a fair amount in obvious pass rushing situations from what I saw. He at least got chipped quite a bit. And, you know, he to me looks as fast as he has this year, which is, you know, I think a huge deal. Those four guys, you know, and they move them all over the place, as we've talked about. That's as much a strength of this team as anything moving forward. And then David Long gets back out there yesterday. I thought you saw the difference with him. Yep. I mean, he had the late pick, but even without the late pick, he's just and Kevin Byard said after the game, you know, he's like an emotional leader, which is interesting. You know, a young guy who he was a rookie just a couple years ago in that playoff run, having to fill in for Jayon Brown, but he is a hugely important thing. Now you have Long and Cunningham, and maybe that's going to be your – who knows? We'll see. But that could be a heck of a combo, at least in some situations, for the linebacking core moving forward. I mean, the defense right now, they've got just about everything figured out at this point, including, you know, Elijah Molden. I really like how he's playing here as a yep. rookie. I thought Jenkins had a good day yesterday. It's good to see him out there. I thought he looked pretty good. They've got a lot of answers right now at every level on that defense.
Go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim texting in says, Vrabel should get some serious consideration for Coach of the Year, but if there's a GM of the Year, it should go to J-Rob. Think about what this team, specifically the defense, looked like last year. Couple that with all the moves needed to manage the injuries and COVID issues this year. What a great job by John Robinson. This is coming from Jim on the text line.
Well, I think that's fair. I mean, it's really interesting with John Robinson because Autry and Dupree as your choices for the front have been obviously very good. Also, I mean, I was very dubious of the cornerbacks moves. You know, you move on from Adoree Jackson, you move on from Malcolm Butler. And it's not like Jenkins has been a great pickup, but because Fulton has been so good, your last year's second round pick, that's kind of helped it all come together. But, you know, it's funny because you talk about GM of the year, also having to find all these guys off the street who have come in and played football for you. That's hugely important, but it's also still the same year that you had the Julio Jones signing, that you drafted Caleb Farley, number one, and Dylan Radins, number two, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's, you know, I mean, there's some people, sometimes fans who would probably argue really loudly against that idea. But overall, you know, if you want to talk about GM of the last stretch, John Robinson's 58 and 38 as GM of the Titans.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
New Year's Eve day. Have you had a chance to consider any New Year's resolution since I asked you on Sunday?
Yeah, they would all be personal, so it probably wouldn't mean anything to you anyway. Thank you.
Oh boy, Bill Belichick followed up last week about the New Year's resolution question. Wasn't biting that Bill Belichick. He is the harbinger of fun. No fun for Bill Belichick.
You know what? The first answer, I thought that was kind of nice of him. You know, like, well, maybe try me next week. It was like, wow, surprisingly nice of Bill Belichick. But now I realize he's just saying whatever he can say to avoid answering the question. Very disappointing.
Those New Year's resolutions are personal. Well, I would hope that, like, everybody's New Year's resolution is personal. Is it not? That's kind of the point.
I mean, do you have weird New Year's resolutions? Like, you know, if it's like, hey, just want to be a better coach and a better, you know, husband and father, or you know, I want to lose 10 pounds or whatever. I mean,
going to have some of that Filmon and Company theme music coming at us, or what's happening with Belichick?
Oh, good God.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no follow-up.
Go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ty texting in says, Joe did predict that Harold Landry would come up just short of the Titan sack record. Looks like he's going to be right. He did get one yesterday, but now up to 12 for Harold Landry.
Yeah, and actually, remind me again the number. I've forgotten. The sack, the record number is what?
Isn't it like 13 and a half?
I think that's right. So, you know, you tell me Harold Landry can't get two sacks in Houston? Now, of course, some people would say, well, he didn't do it in 16 games. But, I mean, hey, that's what it is now. A season's a season. So, it's still there for him.
Andrew from Dover texting in says, David Long's concentration for that interception was awesome. Great to have him back. Was nice to see David Long back out there and back on the field. He continues to be a pretty big playmaker for this Titans defense.
He does. And, you know, some of those running, it looked anyway, got to be careful with these things because sometimes something looks obvious. I know Pro Football Focus is incredible at grading everyone's performances. But it did look early in some of those run plays that Rashawn Evans kind of got caught in the wash, maybe had a bad fit here or there. Now, I think he's played pretty well lately. And really, I think Rashawn Evans has had, to some extent, a bounce-back year.
Yeah.
But David Long just has these instincts and this speed to get to the play, you know, that I think makes him a special player. You're talking about right there, an incredible draft. We're talking about John Robinson stuff, you know, go back to the 2019 draft and David Long going to end up being a six, you know, you're talking about a 6th round pick. Jayon Brown, a 5th round pick, really good. But David Long as a 6th round pick, I think he's going to end up exceeding him. And I really am intrigued by Zach Cunningham, David Long as an interior duo moving forward from now and also potentially for next year.
Go back to the text line. Liam texting in says, Happy New Year, guys. I'm looking forward to seeing what the national media makes of the Titans now that we're back in the lead for home field. After Derek went down, who could have seen this coming? Just a few of us delusional fans. And probably Davis Mills as well. This comes from Liam.
Ooh, nice.
I cannot wait for the Davis Mills fun we're going to have this week. It's going to be awesome here on the show.
Yeah, I mean, you better – we got some pun. You know, you got to work on some new puns on Davis Mills. We're going to talk about him all week. You know, Liam, I got to get after you a little bit. So all the Titans win – division titles for, you know, back to back. They do not win the division very often ever in franchise history. They are in possession of the number one seed. All these things are happening, and you can't wait to see what the national media says. See, you can't help yourself. I'll give you a preview. Well, you know, I think that there are some people who actually, I think there is actually a lot more respect out there for the Titans. I mean, you know, it varies person to person, but it's not like across the board, like people are going to dismiss them. I do think if the Titans are the one seed, you're going to hear a lot of, is this the weakest one seed since blah, blah, blah? No, how does this, and which actually would be great for your team if that's how it plays out. I think that's how it will play out if it happens. And you know what? You should love that. You should love it. Because we know this team seems to really relish situations like that. Also, the analytics nerds are already out there saying this is like the worst, you know, one seed or whatever. The DVOA stuff. Yeah. And, you know, DVOA, all that stuff. I mean, there's value in that stuff. But if it doesn't account for using 88 players in a season, then that's a pretty flawed metric.
I would say so. And to your point, if that's what the talking point is going to be from a national perspective heading into the playoffs, if I'm a Titans fan, I say, cool. You say whatever you want to say. Mike Vrabel, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. Vrabel does what he can to not worry about outside noise too much. But when the outside noise is saying that, I think it's pretty obvious he pays attention to it and he uses that inside that locker room. So if that's going to be the talking point, if I'm a Titans fan, I mean, I guess you could be upset about it if you really want to, but to me, if I'm a Titans fan, I'd be like, yeah, bring it on. Say everything negative you could possibly say about this team, and we'll see what happens come playoff time.
Right. I mean, people get mad about it, which I get, but it is. It's actually fuel for your team. So, You know, you gotta look at it that way and embrace it. So I got texted by Ty, 14 and a half sacks for Kirsch, Javon Kirsch, but that was his rookie. That was right. That's his rookie record. That's the most sacks by a rookie. Is that the Titans team record? We know it's at least 14 and a half, which means if, you know, that, so Harold Landry is probably not getting three next week.
I don't know, man.
Well, there's a lot to grab at.
There's a lot to get.
If he's tackling high, there's a lot to grab.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, the strike zone for Davis Mills, a much bigger target. Like, you don't have to worry about hitting him in the head really ever.
Oh, my goodness. So William, we knew that. William Fuller has the record at 15. Now, that's franchise record. If you want to do Titans era record, you can do Javon Kirsch at 14 and a half. But I don't know. You never know. You know, I watched a little chunk of the Texans Niners yesterday, by the way. And Davis Mills looked really good on an early drive. They score a touchdown. I was like, man, like, they've kind of got some stuff going on. He looks good. He's been actually on a tear since his first couple of games. But then, you know, they didn't do it much else the rest of the game. So there's really this is a game that, I mean, seriously, like, you are one of two things. The number one seed, you're the division champ, so you have to, I mean, like, the T-shirts are already printed and everybody has been wearing them, right? But you're either the one seed or the team that got swept by the Texans. That should be some pretty good motivation.
I would say so. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in says, I just checked the odds on Coach of the Year, and Mike Vrabel's at +350 with both Zach Taylor and LaFleur ahead of him. That seems ridiculous to me. If we win the one seed, I can't see how Vrabel isn't the winner. It's coming from Tyler.
Well, you know, this is I reject the market stuff with the Hall of Fame because it's just it's not a cotton candy process. But these individual season winners are a lot more cotton candy, a lot more, oh, I'm a voter. Yeah, LaFleur. Okay. This will be an interesting test of the voters. If the Titans finish this off and get the one. I'm with you. Like, this is what the Packers were supposed to be this year, right?
Yeah.
Now, Zach Taylor, that is overachieving. I mean, I'm much more amenable to Zach Taylor right in there with Vrabel than I am LaFleur. No offense to LaFleur. I just think that, you know, the Packers have basically done what they've done as expected with the best player, I think, right now going. The MVP, I think, Rodgers will get. Zach Taylor. Now, Joe Burrow's great too, but that's overachieving. I still would say Vrabel should have the edge. I agree. So we'll see. You know, there is another week for the Titans to possibly screw it up. Let's remember that. And if they don't, and there's also another week of people to think about it and talk about it. I gotta think he's right in there. And if not, then maybe that's another one of those up the you know, the Nashville market gets hosed in the NFL discussion.
Liam texting in says, those analytic nerds are why Zach Taylor almost gave away the game to the Chiefs on that insane goal line sequence. They don't have everything quite figured out as of yet. It's coming from Liam on the text line. Says, text your DVOA and shove it.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's, you know, those are kind of two different things. But I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, analytics in general dictates a lot. Honestly, I think that was purely just like fear of the Chiefs. I think in his mind, and frankly, I get it. He's like, with a minute something, he's going to come score a touchdown on us. Like, we're not stopping Tyreek Hill right now. Yeah. We're not stopping. So I think it was just purely like being realistic about the Chiefs in a hurry up and what they'd done really all day. I mean, when the Bengals got stops yesterday, it was a smoke and mirrors. I mean, it really was. So I think that was more than anything what it was. It was who you were playing and thinking a field goal right now, they're going to go score a touchdown. They're certainly going to tie us with a field goal. And they're probably going to go score a touchdown on us and beat us. So I think it was more that than it was like an analytics play. But had they come away with no points, I mean, to me, it was like, once you bleed the timeouts, like, just you play percentages and take points, rather than mess around. And also being shotgun, by the way, fourth down from the inch line. But it all worked out for them.
I love that. Shotgun from the goal line stuff.
I mean, when they were sneaking early in the series, I mean, to me, it looked like Burrow held up to kill their timeouts, which to me is smart. Like, I like that. But then just get back under there again and get in. But they didn't. They messed around. That was lucky of Zach Taylor for sure. But I just think the Chiefs right now, to me, are still the favorite in the AFC because they look much more like the Chiefs. That was an incredible Houdini act by the Bengals, mostly because of Joe Burrow and freaking Ja'Marr Chase, man. Oh, is he going to be a great player in this league for a long time?
He is unbelievable. I mean, you could already make an argument he's like a top seven wide receiver, and he's a rookie. Like, he's unbelievable how good that guy is. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Back-to-back divisional titles for the Titans. What's the significance of that? We'll take your thoughts on the AFC South champions on our text line, 615-737-1025. I'm sure you probably heard of FanDuel Sportsbook by now. They're making every moment more this season. First off, FanDuel Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. That means you can place all your bets on a trustworthy app that's also easy to use. And basketball fans, you can celebrate the NBA 75th anniversary season on FanDuel Sportsbook as well. Right now, new customers can place their first bet risk-free. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. So if you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. They've got great live betting options and great odds boosts and specials as well. And speaking of the NBA, check out those Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant and company playing really well right now. A good option for you on the money line, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code Rob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.